Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Monday's show, I'll chat with my VOA colleague, Abdushakur Aboud, about Comoros football and the team's historic rise in the FIFA rankings. It's also been a successful year for Malawi's national women's football team. We'll hear from head coach Lovemore Fazili, plus much more on Monday's Sunny Side of Sports. Joining me now here in Studio 22 is Abdushakur Aboud, a.k.a. Shakur Shake and Bake Aboud of the VOA Swahili Service. Shakur, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's been a long time. I remember that was since Equatorial Guinea, AFCON challenges.
Long time.
That's a long time back.
Long time. You were born in Comoros.
I was not born in Comoros. I was in Zanzibar, but I come from Comoros.
You're from Comoros.
Exactly.
What was the reaction like in that island nation after the team's big jump in the FIFA rankings? They went all the way up to 119th overall, highest position ever, after beating Ghana in the Central African Republic.
As usual, whenever Comoros wins, there's always a big celebration. From Moroni to Paris, there has been a lot of celebrations. It was an overnight celebration because it's the second time that Comoros beats Ghana. If it's to be remembered that Comoros beat Ghana at a historic game in Cameroon during the AFCON finals there, and they were eliminated by Cameroon. So it was a big joy for the Comoros. Actually, in the Comoros, they say there is a political instability right now with President Azali. But the only thing which unites Comorians today is the Comorian soccer team, Salakant. It has brought people together never before.
Now, how would you describe this team, Shakur, in terms of its makeup?
It's a young team. It's a young team. The Comoros team has been created by a very well-known coach from Marseille. He started this idea in 2022. He collected a lot of these young players in France. So 80% of players of the Comoros are living in France. So they bring them in during the match, a week before the match, and they play together. So it's a team which has been very strong during the AFCONs, but after the 22, after the horrible disaster, the coach left. The coach now is training Mauritania's team, and now there's a new coach who's coaching the new Comoran team, and this surprise, beating Ghana, beating Central African Republic 4-2. Actually, the two goals were Comorans themselves, self-goals, so they've been playing.
Well, as we speak, we're 40 days away from the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations in Ivory Coast. Comoros did not qualify for Ivory Coast, but these recent victories, Shakur, do you see that as maybe a symbol that the gap is narrowing between, say, some of the smaller teams in Africa and the big boys like Ghana,
yes,
and Ivory Coast and Nigeria?
I think that's the fact. It's the fact that Ghana, Nigeria, and all these teams had players who are well-known, who play for European leagues and all that. But now the small teams also, it's to be remembered, Cape Verde, Mauritius, Madagascar, they have a lot of diaspora who are living abroad. Now these young guys are being taken and playing for the small teams, so they have come to the level of Ghana and Nigeria, I believe, the same thing. So they are playing on a fair ground to a certain extent when we look at soccer in Africa, because there was a complaint that some teams have their professional players, while you get some African teams have no professional players going to meet in a championship, and that level was not well. But now, at least the small teams, there's looking like there's hope that the small teams are going to be able to recruit also youngsters who have the possibility to play the game as it's supposed to be played professionally, to play for their countries.
One of the neighbors of Comoros is Tanzania.
Yeah.
They did qualify for the Nations Cup. How do you see their chances? I know they're in a pretty tough group.
They're in a pretty tough group in Ivory Coast, but also Tanzania, one should say that they've invested a lot. They've invested a lot in the soccer this time. And a lot of is coming also from President Samia's encouragement of financing the youth to play the game. So we are seeing the Tanzanian squad playing very well right now because they also have invested a lot. And I think the teams which are going to Ivory Coast are going to be tough, but I hope that East Africa this time will see the Tanzanian team reaching up to the quarterfinals at least.
Shakur, the Nations Cup will be played in West Africa, on West African soil. Does that favor the teams from West Africa?
Of course, definitely. Ivory Coast is waiting to take that cup. There's no doubt about it. That's for sure. They're not going to allow, Drogba will not allow them to go away without taking that cup. So I think they are. It's favoring the teams. When you look at it, Senegal is also a favorite. So I think the West African team are much more favored to win this cup rather than the other teams.
Now, Shakur, on a personal note, I feel like my geography has improved since I walked through the doors of the Voice of America, especially concerning Africa, but I don't know a lot about Comoros. I've never been there. Tell our Sunny Side of Sports listeners a little, maybe a few little personal anecdotes about the island nation.
Well, the island nation is well known for its vanilla and ylang ylang. It's the best producing ylang ylang product. You know, we say ylang ylang, vanilla from France, but really vanilla comes from Comoro Island, Madagascar and Indonesia. It has the best quality. It has the best ylang ylang flower, which makes the best perfume in France. So it's known for that. It's called the Perfume Islands. But also the name of the Comorian football team, Solakant, is a special fish found only, it's a very rare, millions of years ago. It's one of the very few mammals living in the water, deep seas. It's only found in the Comoros. Very difficult, very rare. Scientists are trying hard to catch it. It has never been caught alive. So Comoro is known for that, Solakant. It's a fish which is a mammal which has four limbs. And it's when you look at it, you feel like a human being lost in the water somehow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What about the vegetation there? Is it tropical?
It's tropical. It's very hot. Comoro is very hot. It has one of the biggest volcano in the Eastern African continent. It's a very active volcano, Kartala, and the vegetation is very good. But one of the very underrated tourist destination. But this is because of instability politically. We had almost 20 coups in the last 40 years, and you have that instability politically, so it's not attracting tourists as it should. It has wonderful beaches, it has wonderful areas, it has mountains and forests and the beach. So it's a very ideal place. It could be better than the Seychelles for one point, or better than Mauritius, the neighboring country. A lot of South Africans used to come to Comoro for tourism. So it's a place where it's very rich, underrated, and still a good place to be in the Comoros, in the Indian Ocean. And there's a lot of chance of investment there. And I'm looking that they're investing a lot in the sports, and they're helping a lot of the people to bring up the sports, the youth. Like last month, they started the youth sports in schools, soccer in schools, which is very good.
Let's bring it back to the Nations Cup, Shakur. As I reflect on your career at the Voice of America, was it South Africa you went to? Quite a few years ago.
Yeah, this was 5 years ago. That was Africa Games.
That's
has already
right.
disappeared. I don't see it taking place much as we have. That was from Africa Games. I went to the AFCON, covered that those games also. So it has been a while.
And what are you doing now for the Swahili service? I know you've been with that service
I've been there
long
quite for a long time. I'm a senior editor in the service, so I'm doing multitasking as all of us, you know, TV, radio, media, social media and everything. That's the new trade of work.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, Shakur. You said Ivory Coast has to be considered one of the favorites for the Nations Cup. Who do you like outside of Ivory Coast to lift the trophy? Senegal, the defending champion.
Senegal, where I went to school. I hope they will win. They will lift it again. I went to college in Senegal. So. But I would love to see Tanzania lifting up the cup. I would love to see East Africa taking the cup at least.
Shakur Shake and Bake Abood, great to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Sunny, for allowing me to be here back.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
In African women's football, it's been a successful year for Malawi's national team, nicknamed the Scorchers. In October, the Scorchers blazed their way to their first CASAFA Cup trophy in South Africa. It was Malawi's first international title in 35 years. Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera praised the team for its dedication and commitment.
It is not by luck that you beat South Africa 4-3 in your first group stage match. It's not by luck that you dismantled Eswatini by 8-0 in your second group stage match. It is not by luck that you disoriented Madagascar with a 3-1 in your third group stage match. And it is certainly not by luck that you snatched the crown from the grasp of the defending champions themselves with a 2-1 victory over Zambia.
As a token of appreciation, President Chakwera awarded each member of the team parcels of land and a bonus of about $1,300. Meanwhile, Malawi's head coach, Lovemore Fazili, says more corporate sponsorship is needed to improve Malawi women's football.
We need many, many companies to come in to support and maybe sponsor some tournaments and league. Despite the, at the moment, which we only have a farm championship tournament, which is played every year. I think we only have one tournament. So if we can have more sponsors to sponsor some tournaments, I think we can have improvement.
Fazili is the former coach of Malawi's national men's team, nicknamed the Flames. He says coaching women has been more challenging than coaching men.
Players from women's side, most of them, they start playing football when they're 15 or maybe 16 and above. But in the boys' situation, you find out that boys start playing football maybe at the age of 5, 10. So it's very easy for the boys to adapt than women.
That's Lovemore Fazili, the head coach of Malawi's national women's football team. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Pro basketball. The NBA's in-season tournament resumes Monday night with two quarterfinal games. The Indiana Pacers will host the Boston Celtics, and that will be followed by a game between the Sacramento Kings and the visiting New Orleans Pelicans. For a preview, I'm joined once again by my VOA colleague, McBill Yabaro. Sporty greetings, McBill.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Well, Muckbill, the Celtics are off to a really good start this season. How about your thoughts on the team and this matchup against the Pacers?
The Celtics are at the top of the Eastern Conference with 15 wins and only 4 losses. So it is going to be a tall task for the Indiana Pacers. Although the Indiana Pacers, for whatever reason, have found a very great groove when it's come to this in-season tournament. It's gonna be an exciting game for sure. And the beauty of this in-season tournament is similar to that March Madness flow that we love so much when it comes to college basketball. So all it takes is one great game that you have to put together, Sonny. And other than that, nothing else really matters. So I'm excited to see if the Celtics have what it takes to get it done. But really don't count out the Indiana Pacers being led by their star guard, Tyrese Haliburton, who's averaging about 27 points a game. He's also averaging, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he is averaging about 11, almost 12 assists, so 11.8 assists a game, leading all players with assists this season. And he's not really known to be a, you know, an assist machine, but really what we're seeing is this young man's playing style is just developing and growing on a continual level. So I'm super excited to see what he does. But yeah, the Celtics are the Celtics. They're at the top of the league at the moment in the Eastern Conference, being led by none other than their star. I would say, is he a guard? Is he a forward? Jason Tatum, 27.4 points a game. You know, they also have tons of talent with Jaylen Brown, as well as Porzingis, Drew Holiday. The team is so loaded that it's very difficult to go up against them, because even if one of them has a tough night in the office, the other ones are there to build them up and make sure that the team stays the course. So if I were to guess, I would say that the Celtics get it done. But like I said, one game only. The Indiana Pacers definitely have a great chance. And they're actually ranked higher than them in this tournament at the moment. The Pacers are coming in second seed. Celtics are coming in as a third seed.
Muckbill, this is the inaugural season for the NBA's in-season tournament. Can you review the prize money for our Sunny Side of Sports listeners?
The winning team will have all the players on that team win $500,000 per player per winning team, and the running runner-up team will have all their players win $250,000 per player. That is a lot of money, Sonny. Whether you are a multimillionaire or not, 500K is 500K, 250K is 250K. Now, with that being said, let's look at the teams that are still here. The Celtics of the world with the, you know, Jason Tatums and the Jaylen Browns with $100 million contracts. $500,000 is not really life-changing for them at this moment, but they've mentioned, a lot of the stars have mentioned that, hey, this in-season tournament is A, for bragging rights, number one, you know, because you definitely want to win and be able to say, hey, you know, we've got it done for this tournament. But also, a lot of the stars have mentioned that this is a win for some of their younger players, the players that are still on rookie contracts, maybe these two-way contracts. You know, if they're only making about $1 million or $1 million and some change a year, which is still a lot of money, $500,000 is a lot of money for them. So I think they're doing it for their team, and it's built this really great camaraderie from the vets to the younger players.
And Muckbill, what does the rest of the schedule look like for this in-season tournament?
So at the moment, the games for today will be, as we mentioned, Pacers versus the Celtics and the Kings versus the Pelicans. And then tomorrow we'll have a clash between the Lakers and the Suns, so LeBron versus KD. We always love LeBron versus KD, so it's going to be exciting. And the Bucks versus the Knicks. After that, there will be the semifinals. Semifinals will be on Thursday. The West semifinals will be at about, will be the later game at 9 p.m. The East semifinals will be at 5 p.m. on Thursday, Eastern time. And then the finals will be on Saturday. So that's how it's kind of shaping out to be. All in all, sounds super exciting. I will be tuned in, Sonny.
Muckbill, there were no NBA games on Sunday. Were there any games that really stood out for you on Friday and Saturday?
If we start off with Friday action, you know, the home team, the Washington Wizards, lose to the Orlando Magic. Orlando's been on a streak. They've been really hot. So, you know, it was a close game, 130 to 125. The Wizards are still just not able to fully get it done. Maybe they turn it around, but we shall see. Boston Celtics versus Philadelphia is a great game that I seen on Friday. Boston was able to beat the Philadelphia 76ers 125 to 119. That is definitely a clash that I think we will be seeing in the coming playoffs this season, most likely if they end up together. San Antonio Spurs versus the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans won 121-106. They've been on somewhat of a really good streak, considering the young man Zion Williamson has been back and has been playing really well for his team. Then the Denver Nuggets were able to get by and beat the Phoenix Suns 119-111. So those were my interesting games on Friday. And if I were to pick maybe one or two more for Saturday, I'd say Los Angeles Clippers beating the Golden State Warriors 113-112. It's a huge win for the Clippers. You know, just getting over that hump of not being able to get close games closed off with especially against the Golden State Warriors. Warriors this season have had, I would say, a little bit of a challenging start to the season, just because Steph Curry's been the relatively only consistent player. He also led his team with 22 points, but he was actually, you know, had some heavy help from Draymond Green with about 21 points, and Moody also with 21 points. But Kawhi Leonard and PG were leading their team, all the Clippers, with 25 and 20 points apiece, with 21 points from James Harden. So James Harden's also starting to click with the Clippers, so it is starting to look really good for them. The last game that I'd pick would be the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Hornets. Minnesota won 123-117. Now, interestingly enough, Sonny, the Minnesota Timberwolves are leading all teams in the Western Conference with 15 wins and 4 losses. They're 9-1 at home and 10-2 in their conference. This is an area that the Timberwolves have not really seen themselves in years. So I'm super excited for the team. Anthony Edwards, super talented young man. So I'm excited to see what he's able to do for how long with this team. But this is great news for anybody from Minnesota. I think moving forward, just being able to know that they can stay at the top spot. They've held the top spot now in the West for about a few weeks now. So I think this is just great news moving forward for that organization, Sonny.
Talking pro basketball and the NBA with my VOA colleague, Muckbill Yabarrow. Thanks, Muckbill.
Thank you for having me, Sonny.
Hi, this is Larry London from Border Crossings at 1500 Universal on the Global English Network at VOA. And I want to invite you to our Tuesday Spotlight Artist of the Week feature coming up on December the 5th. That's a Tuesday, Los Lonely Boy. So make sure you're with us on Border Crossings here on the Voice of America.
Now let's go to Nigeria, where FIBA Africa Zone 3 Women Basketball League qualifying games tipped off over the weekend. Two clubs from the zone will advance to the inaugural edition of the Africa Women Basketball League later this month. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Abuja.
ASPAC Basketball Club of Benin Republic defeated Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministries, or MFN, of Nigeria 53-48 in the opening game of FIBA Africa Zone 3 Women Basketball League qualifiers. The Nigerian team, MFM, led ASPAC in the first two quarters of the game. ASPAC changed their playing pattern, leveled up in the third quarter, and eventually won the game. Adognan Landry is the head coach of ASPAC Basketball Club of Benin Republic. He spoke through an interpreter.
He said that he has played them in Louis XVI Championship, and he realized that it's only their guards, the little ones, that score. The big men do not score. So he noticed it that here the big men are not capitalizing on the baskets that they were making. So they made sure that they came out all out on the guards so that they can force the ball to the big men so that they can fumble the ball, and it worked for them.
Landry says his team will be prepared for their next game against the Nigeria Customs Women Basketball Club. Coach of the Nigerian team, Mountain of Fires and Miracles Ministries, Okorogun Ochuko, says her team made mistakes in the defense.
In the first half, we had something going. It was working. We came to the game in the second half and we stopped a working formula. What was working for us, they decided to change. And why they changed, the other team capitalized on it. They came, and that was on defense. On defense, we kept overloading one side and our back kept leaking. And they knew it, the opponent saw it, and they made good use of it. And they covered the scores. So we've seen it, we've known our mistakes. The players too, they know their mistakes, they've seen it. So we correct it in our next match.
The FIBA Women Zone 3 Basketball League qualifiers is sponsored by the Nigeria Customs Service. Samuel Onikeku is the chairman of the local organizing committee of the qualifiers and sports secretary of the Nigeria Customs Service.
The Nigeria Customs Service, apart from generating revenue, suppressing smuggling and facilitating trade, we have another side of using sports to be able to enlighten the populace and using sports as a form of PR positively. And we have a vibrant sports department, sports unit in the service. So sports in Nigeria Customs has been going on since in the 70s, so it's just not now. So that was one of the reasons why the service is using this opportunity to sponsor these qualifiers when it was pitched to the service.
Two teams from the FIBA Africa Zone 3 Women Basketball League qualifiers will go to the final round of the inaugural edition of the Africa Women Basketball League, holding in Alexandria, Egypt, from December 11th to 19th, 2023. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. And finally, in African athletics, Ethiopian runners Cisse Lema and Worknesh Degefa won the men's and women's titles Sunday at the Valencia Marathon in Spain. Cisse Lema set a course record of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 48 seconds. His time is the sixth fastest in marathon history. And in her first marathon in almost 4 years, Ethiopia's Worknesh Degefa won the women's race in a personal best time of 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 51 seconds. And that wraps up the December 4th edition of the show. Thanks to producer Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to engineer Keila Williams. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.